This is Tim Berners-Lee reading the Harper Audio version of my book, Weaving the Web. When I first began tinkering with a software program that eventually gave rise to the idea of the World Wide Web, I named it Enquire, that's Enquire with an E, short for Enquire Within Upon Everything, a musty old book of Victorian advice I noticed as a child at my parents' house in London. The title suggested a portal to a world of information, everything from how to remove clothing stains to tips on investing money. Not a perfect analogy for the web, but a primitive starting point. What that first bit of Enquire code led me to was something much larger, a vision encompassing the decentralized organic growth of ideas, technology, and society. The vision I have for the web is about anything being potentially connected with anything. Unlike Enquire Within Upon Everything, the web that I have tried to foster is not merely a vein of information to be mined, nor is it just a reference or research tool. Despite the fact that the ubiquitous www and .com now fuel electronic commerce and stock markets all over the world, this is just one part of the web. Buying books from Amazon.com and stocks from E-Trade is not all there is to the web. Neither is the web some idealized space where we must remove our shoes, eat only fallen fruit, and eschew commercialization. The irony is that in all its various guises, commerce, research, and surfing, the web is already so much a part of our lives that familiarity has clouded our perception of the web itself. To understand the web in its broadest and deepest sense, to fully partake of the vision that I and my colleagues share, one must understand how the web came to be. The web resulted from many influences, half-formed thoughts, disparate conversations, and seemingly disconnected experiments. I pieced it together as I pursued my regular work and personal life. I articulated the vision, wrote the first web programs, and came up with the now pervasive acronyms URL, then UDI, HTTP, HTML, and, of course, World Wide Web. But many other people, most of them unknown, contributed essential ingredients in much the same, almost random fashion. A group of individuals holding a common dream and working together at a distance brought about a great change. Journalists have always asked me what the crucial idea was, or what the singular event was that allowed the web to exist one day when it hadn't the day before. They are frustrated when I tell them that there was no eureka moment. It was not like the legendary apple falling on Newton's head to demonstrate the concept of gravity. Inventing the World Wide Web involved my growing realization that there was a power in arranging ideas in an unconstrained, web-like way. And that awareness came through precisely that kind of process. The web arose as the answer to an open challenge, through the swirling together of influences, ideas, and realizations from many sides, until, by the wondrous offices of the human mind, a new concept gelled. I am the son of mathematicians. My mother and father were part of the team that programmed the world's first commercial stored program computer, the Manchester University Mark I, which was sold by Ferranti Limited in the early 1950s. They were full of excitement over the idea that, in principle, a person can program a computer to do almost anything. They also knew, however, that computers were good at logical organizing and processing, but not random associations. A computer typically keeps information in rigid hierarchies and matrices, whereas the human mind has this special ability to link random bits of data. One day, when I came home from high school, I found my father working on a speech for Basil de Ferranti. He was reading books on the brain, looking for clues about how to make a computer intuitive, able to complete connections as the brain did. We discussed the point, then...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?